Now it's time for science, and if you're convinced you get a cold every time you go on holidays, well, you might be right. And now we may know why. And the specific tunes that nesting birds sing to their eggs can affect their development. For more on all of this, I'm joined now by our regular science correspondent, Chris Smith. Chris, good morning.
Hello, Alison.
Chris, these birds, some Australian researchers have figured out that birds are singing to their eggs to control the development of their chicks. Can you tell us a bit more about this?
Yeah, the kind of bird that we're dealing with here is the Australian zebra finch. These are outback dwellers. They live in a range of different environments and are subject to a range of different temperatures. And what Mylene Marriott and Catherine Buchanan, who are Deakin researchers, have announced in the journal Science this week is that these particular birds appear to be able to influence the way that their chicks develop when they're in the egg by singing them different songs. And specifically, they adjust the ability of their offspring to adapt to higher or lower temperatures. And it's that particularly harsh environment where these birds opportunistically breed and need to be able to program their chicks to be able to tolerate a range of different conditions that's probably caused this behaviour to evolve. Now, we've known for many years that different animals can pass on into their offspring a tendency to be able to tolerate certain conditions. We know humans do this. In the last decade, for example, we have uncovered the fact that individuals who were born to mothers who were starving during the Second World War in the Netherlands were born with a particular genetic makeup that made them more predisposed to gain weight and develop diabetes in later life because their mothers were starved. Now, birds, they don't have the ability, because their chick is isolated in an egg, to have a chemical conversation between the mother and the offspring in the same way that a human can. So that's why these two researchers came up with the idea of looking at the songs that they sing. Because what they had noted is that very close, within the last 5 days of the incubation of these zebrafinch eggs, the birds, when they're sitting on the eggs, sing a different song. And so they decided to see if when they play this song and what impact it has on the chicks. And they noticed that they only tend to sing this particular set of songs when the temperature is above 26 degrees Celsius.
So how did they figure that out? How did they figure it out that they'd only sing various songs above certain degrees? Pretty close
observation. Well, by doing very, very good science, which is basically you make careful, astute observations. And it was realised that these birds make these particular sound signatures when the temperature was 26 degrees and above, but very rarely when it's under that temperature, and only in the latter phases of the egg incubation period, in the last 5 days. So to test whether or not this was making a difference to the offspring, what they then did was to rear eggs in artificial conditions. They had a big clutch of eggs, and they had a control group which got birdsong, random bird noises, and another group which were the treatment group, and they were played these specific noises that the parents sing when the temperature is above 26 degrees. And when those animals hatched, they were then transferred to an open aviary and put in a range of different nest sites, some of which were at higher and some of which were at lower temperatures. And the interesting trend that emerged was that the birds which were developing at higher temperatures but which had had this song sung to them when they were developing in their eggs, they gained much less weight compared to birds that were growing at exactly the same temperature but which had not had this particular tune. And you might say, well, why would they grow less fast? Why would that be good? And the answer is, if you are trying to combat very high temperatures, the greater your surface area to volume ratio, the less weight you're carrying around, the easier it is to control your temperature. So the researchers speculate that this is an adaptation to keep the birds fitter in higher temperature environments. And this was borne out, this behavioural change, because these birds then, as they grew up, sought out naturally nesting sites that had higher or lower temperatures accordingly. And ones that had adjusted their weight in this way had, on average, more offspring when they bred than birds that hadn't had this reprogramming built into them.
And that could fit into global warming, I guess, Chris.
Exactly, because one of the things we're very worried about, as well as understanding this piece of science, which is very important, how do parents pass on within the time of a single generation important instructions to prepare their offspring to be best prepared for the environment they're going to be born into. The other key thing is we're also worried about the warming world in which we all inhabit and whether or not species will be capable of adapting to that. This is a very interesting mechanism no one ever thought could exist, of how this sound transmits this information and adjusts the offspring's behaviour, and it means that these birds may well have a good chance of being able to adapt their behaviour to a warming world. They don't go into the mechanism in the paper of how we think that sound changes the behaviour of the offspring, but it's almost certainly rewriting circuits in the brain in the same way that the diet of a mother who's pregnant, a human who's pregnant, will be able to rewrite circuits in the brain of her developing baby, which is how we think things like risk of obesity passes in humans.
Okay, so that's the singing chicks, and we may now have an answer to that phenomenon of every time you go on vacation, you get a bug as soon as you hit the holiday.
Yes, it appears that there's quite good evidence for this. A paper in the journal PNAS this week by researchers at the University of Cambridge, this is Rachel Edgar and her colleagues, they've got very good evidence now that your body clock determines your susceptibility to virus infection. And we've known for decades that people who do shift work, people who get up very early to present breakfast programs, for example, are much more susceptible to catching things.
Oh, we're all fighting fit on our own breakfast, Chris.
naturally. But the point is that the people do often say when they go on holiday, when they go across time zones, when they have to do shift work, they do appear to get sick more often even when they were stressed up to the nines in the office. What this group did was to take mice and at different times of the day challenge them with infection with the rodent equivalent of glandular fever virus or with a flu virus. And in both cases, what they see is that the time when the mice are getting up in the morning, they have a very different susceptibility and a very different rate of replication of these viruses to when they're going to bed at night. In fact, there's a tenfold difference in how well the virus grows in the animals between those two times. And then when they try the experiment again in cultured cells in a dish, which also have a body clock running in sync in all these cells, you see exactly the same phenomenon. Now, the purpose of the body clock, every single cell in our body is running a genetic clock. It ticks, taking about 24 hours to tick around its cycle. It's like a genetic domino effect with one gene turns on another gene, which turns on another gene and turns off the first gene and so on. The purpose of that clock is to program your cells so that their activity is optimized to meet the metabolic demands of your body. So you're not making loads of excess energy when you want to go to sleep at night, but you have got the fire stoked up and the furnace is ready for when you get up in the morning and there's a big demand on you. Now, viruses need cells to be in that highly charged, stoked phase all the time, because a really highly active cell is one that's really good for growing viruses. So viruses don't want you turning off your cell metabolism. So that's why these viruses are able to grow much better in cells that have a disturbed body clock or when the cells are revving themselves up. And the other twist of this story is that when they infected the cells with the viruses, they found the viruses are actually manipulating the genes in the body clock, disrupting it. How does this fit in with our jet lag traveller? Well, when you travel across time zones on your holidays, of course, you also disturb your body clock. And this puts you into that highly susceptible phase, making your cells much more susceptible to virus infections, meaning viruses infect you more easily, they grow more rapidly, and they spread around your body more rapidly. So this explains why people tend to get sicker on holiday. And the other thing they point out in the paper is that in the winter time, you have lower levels of one of these clock genes, which seems to defend you against virus infections. And this may also explain why viruses like the flu are much more common in winter.
Unfortunately. Okay, Chris Smith, keep up the good work. Chris Smith, he's our regular science correspondent. You can catch him on The Naked Scientist tonight from 10 p.m. here on RN. And more on that story about the birds on The Science Show at midday tomorrow. It's 6:45 on RN Breakfast.